Paul the Apostle by Grace by Brother John Mitchell. Chapter 23, Difficulties with Corinth. For some time before Paul left Ephesus to take up his travels again, he had been having difficulties with the Corinthian ecclesia. And they were so severe as to indicate from this one episode alone what the care of all the ecclesias meant for him. Probably as much as a year before his departure, Paul had made a special visit using the sea crossing to Centuria in order to talk over matters with the brethren and sisters in Corinth. Apparently, because of the background of immorality against which many of them had been converted, some were relapsing into their former habits, and no one was prepared to make a stand against them. The first intimation of the trend may well have been given by Apollos himself after his return from Corinth, when he and Paul met up again. The investigatory visit that Paul then made does not appear to have been a long one, and nor did it achieve great success. Possibly because Paul did not wish to appear too heavy-handed towards his converts. If so, he thereby gave an opportunity to his critics later to allege that whilst his letters were powerful, his bodily presence was weak, to which he countered that such as he was in word by letter when absent, he would also be in deed when present. However it was, the situation in Corinth did not improve, despite an exchange of letters that had been lost, after which, as a result of information brought to Ephesus by members of the household of Chloe, Paul wrote what is styled in the scriptures Paul's first epistle to the Corinthians, wherein both the weight and the power of his letter writing became evident, and his answers to the Corinthian troubles were plainly set out. Briefly, these troubles were, firstly, divisions amongst the brethren which had led to factions already noted claiming to be followers of either Paul or Apollos, whereas both were servants of God. Paul by grace had laid the foundation which was Jesus Christ, and Apollos had built thereon. Secondly, there was a case of incest in the ecclesia, in that a brother was openly living with his stepmother, whilst his father was still alive, and he had not been disfellowshipped. Paul ordered that in front of the ecclesia gathered together in solemn assembly, the brother should be handed over to Satan, to allow his sinful nature to be destroyed, and to be saved in the day of the Lord. Thirdly, brethren were filing lawsuits against one another in heathen courts of law, instead of referring their disputes to the brethren for their resolution. Do you not know that the saints will judge the world? Asks Paul. And if you are to judge the world, are you not competent to judge trivial cases? Moreover, the brethren should allow themselves to be wronged rather than plead their causes before unbelievers. Fourthly, although sexual immorality was being tolerated in the ecclesia, yet at the same time the ecclesia had been seeking advice by letter concerning marital relations, which Paul now gave to them. Fifthly, likewise, the brethren had wanted to know what their attitude should be to food sold in the shambles that had already been offered to idols in a heathen temple, and also whether they should even eat with idolaters. In this, Paul emphasised freedom of conscience in such matters, provided the feelings of the more sensitive brethren were not damaged. Sixthly, the tentacles of the Judaizers that had been reaching out to other ecclesias had also reached Corinth, this time attempting to demean the apostleship of Paul as compared with that of the brethren of the Lord in Jerusalem and of Simon Peter. Have I not seen Jesus Christ our Lord? Countered Paul. And are you not my work in the Lord? You are the seal of my apostleship in the Lord. Seventhly, there were the general proprieties to be observed by the brethren and sisters, especially in relation to dress and deportment at the breaking of bread, where behaviour had been anything but fitting, even to gluttony and drunkenness. What, don't you have homes to eat and drink in? Or do you despise the ecclesia of God and humiliate those who have nothing? Responded Paul. Eighthly, these general improprieties were also extending into the realm of the Holy Spirit. because the gifts intending for edifying the brethren and sisters and witnessing in their preaching were being used indiscriminately in a cacophony of confusion at their meetings instead of decently and in order. Ninthly, as in some other ecclesias, there was a lack of understanding of the nature and hope of the resurrection of the saints after the pattern of the Lord's own resurrection. Paul's answer that the members in Corinth should have faith in the testimony of the witnesses of Christ's resurrection and know the difference between the body natural and the body spiritual has helped believers in all generations regarding the resurrection of the dead. If all these dicta had been the sum total of Paul's letter, it would still have been remarkable for its power and authority. But there was far more to the letter than a headmasterish diatribe. There was humility in Paul's thanks to God for the grace given in Christ Jesus to these Corinthian members. Also, nowhere else in the New Testament is the contrast so strongly presented between the wisdom of this world and that of God centred in the cross of Christ, as found in the first two chapters of this letter. And the finest explanation of the meaning of Christian love, as it was indeed exemplified in Paul himself, is given in the 13th chapter. Love that is patient, that does not envy, does not boast, is not proud, is not rude or self-seeking, is not easily angered, and keeps no record of wrongs, does not delight in evil, but rejoices in the truth, always protects, always hopes, always perseveres, the kind of love that never fails. In a retributive letter, could there have been a better exhortation to perfection than this? Finally, Paul promised to visit Corinth once more during his next journey and asked for a kind reception by the brethren there, for Timothy, his messenger, meanwhile. The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ be with you. My love to all of you in Christ Jesus was how the letter ended.